all over the world. Every new day brings fresh news, new discussions, new dimensions, new perspectives, new paradigms. Listen to New Day Nigeria on Spirit of Nigeria Radio for what each new day brings to the Nigerian nation. New Day Nigeria on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, Mondays to Fridays, 8 a.m. to 12 noon, Nigeria time. After all, every day is a brand new day in Nigeria. After all, every day is a brand new day in Nigeria. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed, the authentic source of Nigerian information, positive Nigerian energy all the way. Okay, well, of course, still on New Day Nigeria, on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, we are still looking at Nigeria at 60. We want to take as many diaspora perspectives that we can. And I will be talking to Mr. Toyin Abbas. And Mr. Toyin Abbas is a development practitioner. Good day to you, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good day.
Good day. How are you doing? Now I'm asking you on air, not on.
Yeah, I'll say good day, like we normally say in Australia, good day.
Okay.
I'll say 50-50, I would say. That's what I normally answer people. Because my day is great, my day is good, but I think about people all over the world that are not doing okay. That's why it's always 50-50 for me.
Wow, I can only imagine the kind of person you are, not thinking about yourself alone, but thinking about everybody else all over the world. You know, I find it interesting, but it's nice that we're having this conversation so I can get to hear your reasons and we can get to talk in-depthly about what we need to talk about, but specifically in Nigeria. Can we go on?
Yeah, interesting. I'm ready. I just want to talk about Nigeria.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's look at it. First of all, before we even go into details about this conversation, let's get to know you a little bit more. We know that you're Mr. Toyin Abbas and you're a development practitioner, but we'd want to know more. Who is Mr. Toyin Abbas and, you know, what part of Nigeria are you from? Let's establish your Nigerianness.
Interesting. Like I said earlier, and like you acknowledged, my name is Toyin Abbas. I was born, bred, if I have to use the word, buttered in Nigeria, Lagos State to be precise.
Okay.
And I happen to be a Wazobia person. My mom from Igbo descent, my dad a Lagosian. And from my dad's side, we have the Hausa lineage in us. My grandmother from that side, Hausa, heritage. So I'm like a Wazobia person. Yeah, I grew up in Lagos State, and my uni education in Lagos State, University of Lagos State University, and I did history and humanities there. And before then, I was actually playing professional soccer. That was my passion. And while at uni, I represented the uni. Then I was privileged to play for different soccer clubs in Nigeria, including the biggest club in Nigeria, Stationary Stores Football Club. I laced my boot for Julius Berger Football Club, Kwara United. I can name them. But look, I had a dream. I wanted to play professional soccer overseas like any other Nigerian players, like Adusu Joseph in my days, Sunday Olise, name them. So I wanted to venture overseas, and as fate would have it, I was opportuned. And before you know it, I get out of Nigeria and I ended up in Australia. So I've been living here for over 20 years because after my soccer career, I decided to live in Australia because the opportunity came for me. I thought, I wanted to live here because of things best known to me, which maybe at a later day or interview, I will discuss that with people. But there was a big reason that made me to say I wanted to leave Nigeria and not go back to Nigeria. And the good thing, it has changed. It has changed, which we're going to be discussing. It was like 21 years ago, I never wanted to go back to Nigeria, but it has changed. I'm a proud Nigerian. So my journey so far, like I said, it's a long story. You know, leaving Nigeria, thinking, going overseas was the best for me. Yeah, like every other player, if you follow football in Nigeria, like we call it, you wanted to play soccer, you wanted to play overseas, you wanted to make money. That was what drove me. That was what the factor was, go overseas and make money like every other player. So, but look, I knew I was not going to finish soccer or play soccer for the rest of my life. I went for my master's degree in international development, and I'm proud to be working in the field now. So, like you know, like I said earlier, I'm a development practitioner, and it's been a long journey. Yeah, I do a bit of community leadership stuff. I work in the local government sector, and I'm enjoying my work. I'm married, I have kids, and yeah, what else can I say? So by my passion, actually, for anything developing, I mean, when I was in Nigeria, I was there for my other siblings, and it was there in me to see what I can do for humanity. So that will still come back to that question, what actually the motivating factor. We can come to that in the course of this interview, but in a nutshell, this has been my journey. So I've been to different countries where I was plying my trade. I was in Korea, I lived in Maldives, I lived in Singapore. Finally, I came to Australia. So it's a long journey. I've seen it all.
I've got a lot to share.
And
That's quite a journey. Yeah. And
be part of this.
And, you know, for some reasons, I'm looking at the time and I'm like, oh my God, would this even be enough to talk about all the things that we would love to talk about? Because it looks like I want to take out all this information from you. But anyway, let's look at what we can do with what we have. Let's divert a little bit from you. Let's look at Nigeria. You've mentioned quite a couple of things that are key. Talking about your love for Nigeria, talking about, you know, you being a Nigerian and wanted to return to Nigeria. Okay, first of all, let's talk about the fact that Nigeria clocked 61st of October last week. And, you know, a whole lot of reaction. And, you know, there was a conversation that we had on radio on Sunday this week. And, you know, they were talking about brand image, talking about Nigeria as a brand, and talking about, you know, branding, like, you know, what Nigeria is known for. Is the people. The people are the brand. The people are what we sell, what we have to offer the world. The way India has health and so many other things. China has technology. They're known for technology. So Nigeria is known for the people. There's nowhere in the world that you go to that you would not find a Nigerian doing something incredible. Aside all the, you know, the negative things that people say about Nigerians, talking about fraud and all the other, you know, negative things that they say about us, which we know that is not what we stand for. That's not who we represent. So, I want to talk about Nigeria. The first question I would ask you is, as a nation, do you think we are where we are meant to be at 60?
Look, so that question is big. It's big, it's unique. It's, you can look at it from different perspectives. And one of them would be, what is Nigeria now? Which a lot of people would just point the finger and say, yeah, we're just not the giant of Africa, but the dwarf of Africa. And people will say, yeah, we are Nigeria, we are the giant of Africa. It depends on what perspective you look at it. For me, I would rather ask the question, who are we? And what have we, you know, before colonization, after colonization, and post-colonization, so we have to look at them for us to talk about what Nigeria is. Before, I think we were a people bestowed with natural resources, hardworking people, with the trappings to make it. We had all the, Nigeria was meant to be a successful country like any other great nation in the world. But there came the colonialists with their own, I would say, inordinate ambition, which people can recount all over the world. People came for their own purposes, and Nigeria, in the first instance, were tricked. We were like coerced. We were like made to understand that these people came with the guise of education and religion and what have you. But people got to know, and people have been saying that all along, that they came for different purposes. So then after colonization, what happened after colonization? We actually took on what they gave us. We have to forfeit. I wrote a book a long time ago, a nation created by God, but I didn't put God there. A nation created by the Creator, remolded by the West. That is what Nigeria is at the moment. And I will link us back. It's going to happen a lot of times. Like I said, I never knew all this before I left Nigeria. And even people that are so, you know, people that are so, that are lettered, professors, don't even know this. I go into this debate when I was in Nigeria in December. We are a set of people that are confused. We are, according to Ali Mazuri in his book, Africa the Triple Heritage. we are torn amongst triple heritage. We don't even know. Western form of civilization and the religion, that's Christianity. Islam, the Eastern, then our own cultural values. Can you imagine that? So, first of all, if we do not move away from this triple heritage, come 200 million years, we will go on and on in circles. I'm so sorry to say this. I have to say it. And Halima Azuri was clamoring for this. We are the clouded with triple heritage. We are confused. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever seen a westernized person, a mainstream Australian whose name is Abike? No! It's never going to happen. Have you ever seen a local person, a British person, with name first name as Oluwatoyin? It's not going to be. But we were colonized. We were made not to even acknowledge the name. My son's name is Ope Oluwa. I went to his school. I called him after school. He said, Daddy, stop calling me that name. It looks clumsy. I felt sad in me. This is the harm that has been done by the West. I see people spelling there. Now, if I want people to hear this, you know, I've done a few interviews. People should know our problem is not, they're surmountable problems. There are big problems that we have that we're not even looking at them. I wish Halima Azuri were to be alive. We will go in detail. I will sometimes quote Halima Azuri in the course of this interview. We are a confused people. I was in Nigeria for my wedding anniversary, I remember 8 years ago, and I was asked to do the normal thing. I went back to Nigeria to do this. I got married 21 years ago. I did the normal traditional stuff that I had to do. And we had a couples night here in Australia, and I asked everybody on board, they're like colleagues, they're like mates. I said, can you tell me, anybody from here, anybody from this group, did you ever put a ring in your wife's finger and say, will you marry me? Everybody laughed. And I said, you know, I'm trying to make a point here. I said, I did not do that for my wife. Our wedding, our wedding is still solid now. I witnessed a wedding in Australia. A friend of mine, he proposed, he knelt down for his wife, and the lady was crying. He proposed to me. The marriage did not last for 6 months. I'm just saying, we're moving away from what we were meant to be. We were meant to evolve as a people. But we did not. Because Halima Azuri said development can never be bought. It will never be sold. It has to evolve. We were not made to evolve. Nigeria was not made to evolve. That is why we are struggling. When I was born, nobody actually put maybe sticks or whatever on me to walk. I started to walk slowly, you know, like crawl. Then I started to walk. When I was going to start speaking my Yoruba language, nobody came and actually reshaped my mouth. It started. So I will compare this with Dubai and Saudi Arabia, which I've been. I was standing on top of in my room, and I was looking down. I saw everybody donning their, I think we call it jalabia. I did not see, that was in Charger. I did not see anybody wearing a tie. And I said, here is a set of people that did not forfeit their way of life, their natural way of life. Yeah, they bought into Western culture, but at their own pace. Nigeria was actually dehumanized. Nigeria was made to crawl, to live the life they were not supposed to live. As a result, we're struggling. Is that the end of Nigeria? Would that be the end? No. Somebody said, no, we should decolonize. Who started this? People like even great people. People that actually wanted the best for Nigeria. Kwame Nkrumah, even Fela in his song. Kulu mentality. So these are things that we need to go back. We need to go back to this narrative. We need to go back to this discussion before we can move on as a people. What was it like then? Am I saying we should go back to the old days? No. We have to retrace our steps before we move on as a nation. So for now, Nigeria is not where it's supposed to be. Can it be better? Yes, it can be better. And that will still be, from what perspective are you looking at Nigeria? I will not look at Nigeria from the lenses of the Western world. I will look at it from the perspective of Africa. You know, I don't know, but in the course of this interview, I will still share stories with you. I want to give you an instance where I'll tell you, to an extent, Nigeria is okay. And I will tell you, I will share this story with you. The first time I left Lagos State I was about 10 or 12. We went for a wedding, a big wedding in the country. I can't remember that I was still little. For the first time, I was asked to go it was morning time. We stayed the night. My parents took us there. Morning, it was time for us to go and have our bath. And I thought the local one, the local makeshift bathroom or whatever you call it, the countryside. I wouldn't remember, but it was probably between Ilori and Oyo. I can't remember this. Anyway, the person that led us was about 15-year-old, adult, 15-year-old young person. Mm. It was, we were about five of us, my cousins, and then we got there. We were made to swim in a stream, or it wasn't a river. And I thought, why would I even do this? Everyone jumped in except me. After a while, I jumped in, and it was time for us to leave. I wouldn't leave. Now, they still remain the best time of my, and I keep saying, what I had in mind are people that live in that part of the of Nigeria were like, so they were not. Let me finish the story. They were begging me, toying, can we go? The water was like made. It was made for me. That was the final. I thought, oh my God. We finished. We went back to the venue of the party. It was morning time then. We had a party under about seven or eight. I forgot the number of that tree. They were like a shade. And in the morning, I don't know, I'm sure you speak Yoruba like me. Absolutely. In the morning, they had this local raft or mats, we call it. They were laid there, and our parents were on one side, we were on the other side. We had bush meats with amola and begiri. That was, the best day of my life. When our parents traveled, they give us that, they call it bush meat. They would just give us tiny pieces. That day, we were made to live like princesses. Mm. And I felt, oh my God. So this is what the Western world knew about Africa, that we were suffering, but they were judging us for their own lenses. So I'm saying, for this interview purposes, let us actually put that away. We should never, ever, ever judge Nigeria from the Western lenses. Nigeria, as it sits now, is okay. Yeah, there are fundamental problems which we are going to go into. I don't want people to judge me if I go to Nigeria, if I start, I say, I told my friend this, I'm coming back to Nigeria, I might even be fishing. I'm telling you, we can go into that. No, why are you laughing? Okay, the reason is this. I saw somewhere in River State about millions of maybe fishes were there. Hmm. They were dead on the sea. And I said, and people are saying there are no jobs in Nigeria. When I was growing up in Lagos Island, I was born in Lagos Island. My cousins, my uncle, will attest to what I'm going to tell you. We used to go to Ebute. We come back home with about maybe 20 fishes or thereabouts. Our parents, hey, you've been to the, they will even flog us. But then, I was looking at a fish market. If you can check on
yes,
YouTube.
I know about the fish market.
A fish would sell for 3,000, and I said, so if I go back to Nigeria, if I can even get 50 fishes in a day, I don't need to go back to Australia. Who's telling you there are no jobs in? But my cousins in Nigeria, they want me to send cars to them to sell. These are things we're going to go into today. There are jobs in Nigeria, and I'll continue to say there are jobs. But things are not going okay because of fundamental reasons, which we'll go into that. But for the purpose of this one, the question you ask, Nigeria, we are lost because we are confused. That's what we are. Can we get better? Yes, we can get better. Are we doing okay? Not as we would love to. So that's where I'm going to put it, in a nutshell. So if you want to ask for that question for me to elaborate anyhow, please ask me, and I will sort of, to back up, to tell you whether we're doing okay now. If you wanted to include, I would say, talk about that later. We want to give you statistics that Nigeria is okay. If do you want me to go and talk about that, if my take.
Okay, well, honestly, at this point, you've listed like about five things that we're meant to go into. Talking about, the statistics, whether or not we're doing okay. Talking about the opportunities. And it got me. It got me a whole lot. Talking about the opportunities that are available in Nigeria. At the last week on Independence Day, the president gave his speech. And we saw too many comments. Nigerians were, and we can understand the situation. Nigerians are angry. Nigerians are angry. Mm. They're bitter about the situation of the country. But, we try to explain. Mm. We try to say it every day. We're a patriotic radio station. We're not for the government. We're for the people. We love Nigeria. A positive Nigerian energies we want to give out. And that is one of the reasons we're having this conversation right now. And, you know, lots of comments. People were talking about the issues, talking about the problems, talking about the paint, which I quite understand. But talking to a person who is in the diaspora and saying that there are too many opportunities that people are yet to tap into in this country is getting me on another level. And I want to hear from you. What is your perspective? What do you see that we are not seeing as Nigerians in Nigeria? What are you seeing? You are there. You are there in Australia. You've seen the opportunities. You've seen everything. And you've been in Nigeria. You've also seen like Nigeria. That. Yes, please. Let us know what we are not seeing, what we're not exactly getting as a people.
Okay.
What is available?
I like that. I like that question. And first of all, I will go back to something which is, I think is important. Why everybody, I was telling a friend, I said, even 2 year old, 1 year old, we know we are facing a lot of issues in Nigeria. We are confronting a lot of issues in Nigeria. But people, you know, people, even I had this debate with one of my best friends in Australia, Mr. Olawale Olaitan, which you know very well.
Yes.
And it got to like a debate that we always call it a debate. We don't call it argument. It was so nice that I so privileged to know that person. It's a very, very close friend of mine. And we were talking about leadership or followership. And I said, I'll take both. We talk about Nigerian problem. I will tell you about Nigerian problem from two perspectives as a development practitioner, which I never knew before I left Nigeria. We have the remote problems, issues we call it, or the immediate. And we go a little bit into the remote. If we don't actually separate these problems, we continually live. You know, I don't know how to put it. Maybe development will continue to be a mirage. So what do I lay or refer to as a remote problems of Nigeria? The remote one will still go back to the post-colonial era. We were like, you know, imagine a people being, you know, dehumanized, coming to a place where the best legs, the best hands, the best people, the young people were taken away into slavery. If you come to my house now, you take away me, myself, da, 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 and you leave 2 year old and the grandpas, that place is as good as dead. So first one. Then secondly, when people came back, the people that were in the slaves and whatever, when they came back, they were like, this place, when you're traveling, you lose. And I forgot his name, it's a popular Nigerian that I want to meet. He was talking about the lost identity. When you are traveling, you have your visa, everything, passport, everything, and it's stolen. And you are the Murtala Mohammed, the airport, what can you do? So first of all, we have to understand our problem from that past. Indigenous community, the Aboriginal people, they're still crying. And for the first time, a few years ago, the Australian Australia, they actually made the apology to the Aboriginal people. When people are already like in that state, it's going to be hard for them to stand. But am I blaming our problems on the white people? No. You have to look at the causative factor. So once we had that colonization, we could not go back again and think about what we were. And there were a lot of lies that were actually brought up that made us to believe we're inferior. We were not inferior. So we have to totally decolonize. If we don't decolonize, we will still go in circles. Then coming back to the immediate causes, then now we're going back. Ineptitude government. People that are saddled with responsibilities that don't even have a clue. So I'm just talking about our problems. I'm in two folds. We're fixated on the immediate ones. Without going back to the remote ones, we'll never get it right. For example, Rollins was saying people like friends, two friends, three friends were living together. One of them committed a crime. They told the person that didn't commit the crime did it. And they said, take them to their village. You're going to know the person that did it. Am I saying we should go back to the old days? I'm saying if we have to. If somebody, I'll give an example. If you have a son traveling, and I want Nigerians to hear this, traveling to the States, the person has to use his phone affidavit, and the person is lying because of I has to travel. And before you proceed, you have to swear to an oath. Mom and dad, if Michael is telling lies, there is this man here, is a traditional chief from Ogoni land. This one is from Igbo land. This one is from Yoruba land. We don't know them. If your son is saying this and that, this and that, this will be the consequence. Will you allow your son, your daughter to? You will just say no. But go to the court. I'm telling you, I'm telling you what the Western world, I'm telling you the problem in the North. I'm just being narrative here. But what we have, okay, go. Ikeja court. Yeah, so help me God, my name 15 years, Bamango. That is what is happening in Nigeria. So am I saying that sometimes there are punitive measures for things that we do? If you don't get punitive measures for them, you're gonna recycle that crime. So I'm just saying our way of life changed. Another example, Professor Sophie. I think God will continue to protect her for us. She said she used to be a lecturer in America. She lived in America. She said, why do we use Yoruba English language for our subjects? That is part of what the colonial masters embedded on us. I know a friend here who is not lettered, but is so intelligent. I thought if this person were to be actually trained in a local language, he's going to be a professor. He lives here with us. He has to work in a factory because his English is not good. But if this person were to be a German or a Chinese, poof. Another example, when I was studying for my master's, I have a Chinese friend of mine. We studied together. After our papers, we would go about 90. I would be scoring about 75. And I thought, we sit down together. And they would do, normally I would say I'm always the brain behind. But you know what he was doing? This person, actually, he had an app that would interpret everything to Chinese. Then he would treat his own with his language. Then he would now reinterpret to English. This person had distinctions when he was at uni in China. So when he came to Australia, his English wasn't good. So he said, in China, I studied in Chinese language. So another reason I'm telling you the problem, taking them one at a time. So how can we still use that form, the Western people, Western norms, the Western country gave us? Then the third one, our political, the way I use it was selecting, picking, electing our leaders. It is just not right. I have a book here written by a professor. It was given to me by a professor. Africa used to have the best form of government and governance. They will sit down under the tree, and under the tree, they will pick their leaders. Are we doing that now? No. Democracy. Democracy has not helped. If you're richer than me, sister, you will win an election, even if you don't have a clue. And I keep asking Nigerians, if my sister were to contest governorship election, she doesn't have a clue, I will vote for my sister's. I will never vote for my sister's opponent who can fix Nigeria. So the problem of Nigeria is scared. That's why I will come back to that, because it's going to be a big contentious debate here. What is our problem? I always say our problem, people before government. People say government before people. We can go into that later. If I were to actually vote for my sister, who is not savvy to look after even my village or my compound, why would I vote for my sister to go and, you know, that's the problem. So our problem, they're in different folds. I don't know what I've been able to articulate those. Though the remote causes, they're still there, and the immediate ones are still there. So we now have to look at those things and now come to a compromise. And the in saying that, that means we have to sit down as a people. We have to co-design. And that's why the issue of the diaspora comes in. We have to co-design what Nigeria needs. When I say co-design, it doesn't mean professors. No. I think this popular pastor, forget his name, I'm not a religious person, Pastor Adeboye.
Okay.
You have to get the imams, the pastors, the babalawos, the miseller, fisela. Get them together. That's what's going to fix Nigeria. Not what we're doing. What we're doing is still borrowed one. It's a colonial thing. We should take away that fabric of us. If we don't take it off, we struggle. Another hills of that democracy that we embedded, my next door neighbor, we're going for a local election. And his brother was contesting in that election. And he said, hey, my brother is contesting. And I said, are you serious? I saw the flyer for the person. I said, I'm going to vote for your brother, myself and my wife, then yourself and your wife. He said, no, this is true life. It happened to me. When we got there, we came back and said, oh, know the way we normally say it in Nigeria, four votes. Said, no, I didn't vote for him to him.
Wow.
You know, his brother came, and no, when I finish this story, you'll be appalled. His brother came, he said, no, Tony, I knew he was not going to vote for me. Next day, I couldn't sleep. My mind went back to Nigeria, my brother contesting an election, knowing fully about, like, I will use our language, my own, done better if my brother wins, you know?
Yes,
and he was
yes.
surprised. He said, Tony, do you know what I said? I want Nigerians to hold on to this. I'm saying, if this can go on air, why he didn't vote for his brother is what made me to cry for Nigeria. He said, Toyin, I did not vote for my brother because I knew he could not perform. I cried. My wife said, with her, I cry for Nigeria. Can we do this in Nigeria? Let us search ourselves. If you cannot answer this question, if you cannot solve this question, Nigeria will never get better. That's why I keep saying the problem of Nigeria is not about leaders. We are the problem of Nigeria. And I'll give you an instance. I have an uncle that is contesting an election in Nigeria. And this uncle is not doing okay. And I told my friends, I said, I will be the first person to go out against my uncle. This just go and write to this day down. You're going to hear me from the media. I'll be the first person to talk against this, my uncle, because he has failed. He has failed the compound. So it's not because of anything. I don't hate him. We talk. But he can't deliver. That's what I'm saying. Can't we see this is the problem of Nigeria? People will say rig it. You only rig when the election is going to be 60-40. You can't rig when 5% are holding us to ransom. Am I making sense?
Yes.
It's people that are voting. Don't anybody deceive you. Not rigging. We're deceiving ourselves. I'm a realist. When they give money to the MC Oluomos of this world, they come down, they go down to the market. That's what is happening. And these people, they swear to an oath. They deceive you. We will take their money. No, they do vote for them. They're on oath. They swear to an oath. Don't let anybody deceive you. Nigeria will get better until we stop in our consciences. So saying that, yeah, these people, they rig. You can only rig when you can rig. You know? So, like, for me, Nigeria is not the way we want it to be. Why? Because of fundamental problems that we can go on and on and on. Everybody will know that, so there is no need for me to talk about. The core reasons why Nigeria is struggling, we're still embedded in that colonial mentality stuff. Then, the remote one, the immediate one, the people we are putting there, they're not the right people. So those two things will stand out for me. And that's why I will go on to this debate anytime, any day. And I've written an article on it. If Nigerians are good, Nigeria will be good. I want you to understand that. I wrote an article a few years ago. If Nigerians are good, Nigeria will be good. It's a simple thing. I want you to think about that. And I want people to think about it. If Nigerians are good, Nigeria will be good. So I will end up by saying, these leaders, do they fly from heaven? They're from us. They are from us. And we're making that mistake by thinking development will actually come from us to rock. No, development paradigm has changed in the development world. Development paradigm has changed to bottom up. It starts from my company. That's why I'm saying I will not let my uncle contest the election. I will not let him. I'm going to write a big article. I'm going to use my money to go to all the media houses, and people will know. It's not going to do anything for me. Let us be sincere with ourselves so that people will know. I'm not going to carry black. I'm just saying it because I've done my own for that. That's the way. If I can do this, if you can do this, your next door neighbor can do this. Nobody's going to die while you're hungry. No. It's just because I think the reason why we're struggling is that we're just not being sincere to ourselves. So I think I will leave that as it is. So the reason we're struggling is us. Honestly, is it poverty? There's poverty in America. People still vote. My colleagues that actually work one day, they were still going to vote the same way. I know people that, you know, but it's not going to change. It's what you have, your principle. If you're embedded on, maybe lies or whatever, it's going to be transparent in you. It's going to show in you, you know. But two things I will talk about, the remotes and the immediate, that you should think about those two, not just one. That Kolo thing should be taken off Nigeria. Hey, if you don't take it off, look, my sister, I'm not sure what we're going to do. So, yeah.
Wow, this is, in fact, this, I find this very interesting.
It is.
You know, talking about politics, talking about leadership, it just... And a conversation I had with Mr. Wale Okuni. Mr. Wale Okuni is Director General of Nigeria Political Summit Summit Group. And we had this conversation. It was talking about leadership in Nigeria. And he said that the problem, one of the main problems that we have in Nigeria is leadership. And that because most of the people that are there do not understand the basic concept of leadership. They do not understand what it means. And I brought up this particular statement with someone I was talking to yesterday. And the person said that it was saying something about education. It was saying that these leaders are, most of them are educated. You know, they have the BSc, MSc, and all of that. And I was trying to make him understand that I do not think that you need that kind of education. You don't need that kind of education to lead Nigeria. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about education on leadership, education on, you know, leading people, how to lead people, critical thinking when it comes to leadership, because it entails a whole lot. If you're going to lead an entire country, there are key areas, there are key parts that needs critical thinking. you know, for you to make decisions. We're talking about COVID-19, what are the things to put in place, you know, during the COVID-19, things to do, how to make it easier for the people. You know, it requires critical thinking. You don't need education for this kind of things at times. And I was trying to make him understand.
So I
want to ask, think that, you know, for leadership in Nigeria, is there something that can be done in terms of, or do you think it is even necessary in terms of schooling, in terms of tutoring, educating people on how to lead?
I will take it up on that. I know where you're driving, and I will quickly look. Professor Oluwole Sofi actually said it all. You don't need to have to be a professor of this and that. And I will tell you to go to uni. She said, I'm sure you must have seen that video. A girl was selling soft drinks, or what we call it in Nigeria. Professor Sophie met her on a journey when she was traveling. Hey, 5-year-old girl, excuse me, how much is your Coke? She said, oh, mommy, maybe 200 naira. It was selling for, say, 150. Mm-hmm. No, how come it's 150? Said, mommy. I said, the professor Sophie said, you're about 5 years. Where did you know? The professor asked her, how come you're selling yours for 200? He said, mommy, you have to bargain, ma. You have to, you know. I said, 5-year-old girl, how did you learn this? I go out with my mom every day. The professor paused for a second. He said, this girl is educated. Then she was about to open it. You know, I was normal Coke bottle now in Nigeria. Yes, yes. She was about to open it. I said, mommy, no, don't open it. The professor Sophie said, are we quarreling? No, mommy, no, we are not. I was just saying, because if there's no change, she paused and said, where do you learn this? From my mom. She said, this girl is really good. I will tell you something today. Some of us in the diaspora, I'm happy to say this out. I'm privileged. I'm working I'm happy where I'm working in my field, and a few diaspora people do that. I'm not going to berate anybody.
Okay.
Some of us, we have to work in other area where we're not supposed to. And it's a simple thing. I will tell you today, we don't need to hide anything. It's hard to actually go for a job interview. And necessarily when it's government job or maybe a corporation or whatever, because they follow the basic things. What are those basic things? We don't have them in Nigeria. I'm going to share them with you. They are communication skills, analytical skills you mentioned. That's critical thinking. Those and communications, those three things, they are things that we need in Nigeria. You don't need, look, I was going to do my PhD. You're going to laugh. The professor, they sat me down. Why do you want to do this? I said, so that I can be gainfully employed. They said, no, you will end up being like us. You're going to be a lecturer. Then I realized that what the Western world, wow, we don't have. Let me give you an instance of, I will take you back to that question. You know, my uni days, my secondary school days, my sisters were catching up on family platform. Our brother that will come first, you know Nigerian position stuff. You know, do first, second, third position, you know. It's like people here in the Western world, they don't even know that thing exists. Said, so, man, you have to be forced to, my God, you know. And I remember then, my when I was growing up, I used to be like, you know, like first, you know. Anytime I come second, whatever. And I thought to myself, I said, like number six, I didn't know any book. That means me on my way, Nigeria, you know. And then, what did I know? And I started to think about, oh my God, yes, my uni days, I was playing football, right? Mm-hmm. I did not have any career. And I'll tell you the trick, and I'll tell you the secret. You know, when they say Gberu in Nigeria, man, yes. I used to cram everything. I can define, even I can quote Macbeth for you. Where did I fit in my bed? I can quote like I have no sport to preserve my intent, only voting ambition, which my lips itself stand false on the other. I don't even know the meaning of what I just said. I don't know the meaning, my sister. But come literature, let me finish. A lot of us, I would say more than 90% of us left uni with that kind of skills. We will pass because we're going to give out what they give us. But a lecturer sat me down. Say, remember the first essay we did, all of us, the highest mark was 45, and he said Obasanjo was a bad leader, discourse. You know what we did? We articulated the point there, no lie, when we got our essay, this person, I think it was UK trained, he said, we failed in the context of this test, but he gave us 45 because of it. And he explained, he said, when you have this sort of question, you have to do critical thinking. He said, discourse. Obasanjo is a bad leader, however, during his tenure, this and that, no mobile, I'm just saying, then you now make your conclusion. I did not know this before I go to uni. And I'm telling you, Nigerians lack critical thinking. That is why people like us, we see somebody, ole, ole, we just go there and beat that ole, ole. We don't even know whether, a lot of us, we say, this witchcraft, we just go there, just start beating that person. Maybe the person has dementia. That's because we don't have critical thinking. This one area that I think our leaders need. So if we have leaders that are devoid of this critical thinking, we're going to go back to the drawing board. It's as simple. I will tell you what I did with this pandemic, whatever. My cousin, I have a lot of people that are well-placed in Nigeria. I said, oh, you guys are in trouble. Palliative, you are stealing people's money. I knew, because I did a bit of critical thinking. I said, I saw streets, people say 10 loaves of bread in the street. Ah, they gave us 10 loaves. I said, how can government do this? This is not real. I did a bit of critical thinking. That was not real. Even people in Nigeria did not even know. My cousin, who is a Catholic, like, and I said, Toyi, Lagos State government was even struggling with the number. They didn't even know how many people own houses. Then they decided to go through NGOs. The NGOs started doing what they were doing. They didn't even went to Sri Lanka to give food, whatever item. They chased that away. Government only. Because you cannot do. How can government give one loaf? I even saw one. Said they gave us one loaf of bread for the whole streets. My sister, we need to wake up. We need to start doing critical thinking before we make decisions. A lot of people that have been killed in Nigeria thinking they are witchcraft or whatever. Same thing with us. Buhari, Jonathan was not good. Yeah. Said, why? Buhari is not good. What can we articulate why Buhari is not doing okay before we even send him packing? Can we see what are the gains of Buhari? What has he brought? Before you make your notice, before you put toy in. So that's what we don't do well. If we sit down as a people, we have people that can do this, but they don't even, have the time to talk about Nigeria because they see other people going different way because they're loaded because of the system we're using. We have to sit down. That's why I always talk about planning before delivery. We don't know how to plan very well. You plan, then you deliver what you're going to deliver. So for me, the missing link, like you rightly said, people that are heading us, my manager when I started was a diploma holder. I have my master's degree. And that is the way he's so good at what he's doing. And I can tell you today, if we have Nigerians that are good, I was looking at this person. I watch Nigerian movies at my spare time. Ibrahim Chata or whatever, Ibrahim, yeah, whatever. Ibrahim Chata. This person did not even go to uni.
No, he didn't.
I couldn't believe it. So that's the kind of, we don't need to go to all these Oyinbos that we will follow. They don't even, who are the world, the most well-read in America? Nigerians, even here. We should stop it. Honestly. All over the world. I look at myself, PhD. Well, then, well, just for me to be gainfully employed, well, I was like, I'm happy with that question. I think the way to go about it, we'll come back to the machinery, we'll come back to us sitting down as a people to actually review that. Because it's still, this person, go away. No! It doesn't mean, there are people that are so immense, people that, this person that, like my story, I play soccer. We still do Sunday soccer, we call it in Nigeria. We were playing, we bought a new goalpost. We're going to assemble this goalpost. This person that I was telling you about, we timed not to be lettered like us. And we were trying to put the goalpost together for about 1 hour. We couldn't even do it. Then we beckoned on this person. Hey, mister, come and join us now. When you guys did not even call me, this person actually was there with us. He joined us. Within 10 minutes, he was able to do it. And we looked at ourselves. So we felt Nigeria believing that person is not lettered. They didn't go to uni. Because of that, it's not in our... No! We just don't. Nigerians, if you're hearing me loud and clear, that is not the way to measure. That's not the yardstick, please. Please. For us to do governance and government, that is not the way. Wari is not well-schooled. Atiku is not... No! Well, let's see what he puts on the table. I'm not advocating for Buhari or Atiku or Obasanjo, but when we're picking our leaders, let us, we have to be other things. You have to count other things. Oh, they went for a job interview. People are looking at their Ibon, we call it Nigeria, Otabon. No! If the person doesn't even speak English, what is he going to deliver? Forget about English. English is not a native language. Honestly. So we should change that mentality. We should actually focus on that. That should be other narrative now. So it's good that thing came up. So we want people that are articulate, people that actually sit down, people that can do critical thinking. That's what white people do more than us. Tell a white person today that yourself and myself were able to cure people of coronavirus. They're going to research us for another, even because there's urgency now, another 2 years. I'm telling you. You come to Babbage, tell this Babbage water, pour it on your head. You're going to be brave. People just go without actually doing a scrutiny. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. It is good that you ask this question, and I think it should be uppermost in our minds now. We should actually redirect ourselves, our energy. I think basically I'm saying it loud and clear. Everybody can bear me out. When you go for a job interview, communication skills, teamwork. How do you work in a team? Then the third one, what did I call it? Your analytical skills. That's those three things are the core component questions you're going to ask. Ask anybody in the diaspora. In Nigeria, it's different. So this, I mean, Nigerians should just start to think about this, and I think we'll start to do well as a people. Because the people must do critical thinking. Without that, it doesn't matter you have PhD, MMSc, BA. Nah. Without that, we are just going to go in circles. Yeah.
In fact, thank you so much, Mr. Toyin. I'm looking at the time and I'm wondering why can't I hold it down for a little bit? You know, I still feel like there are so many areas that we have to touch. And it's talking about, you know, we've talked about the government, we've talked about what we need in terms of picking our leaders and, you know, things that we need to see, things we need to put in place and look out for. But at the same time, let's look at the contribution of Nigerians in branding Nigeria, because we already have quite a reputation anywhere in the world. They judge us for who we are not. We know what we stand and represent. But looking at it, how do we begin to brand our country? How do we begin to brand the nation, the nation's image, Nigeria's brand image? How do we begin to fix and rectify it?
Okay. It's a good one. Look, first of all, I'll go back to one thing that I'm an advocate of decolonization.
Okay.
First of all, we need to decolonize before we even start branding Nigeria. Because what we see every day, we just compare straight away. Look at that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't look. There's this person, I will tell you if I can get his full name. It's an American. He doesn't even know his route. He wanted to go to Brazil, but he ended up in Nigeria. They did a DNA, whatever on him, and he happened to be from Osun State. He doesn't even know he doesn't know his route. So, Father, he lives in Nigeria and he lives overseas. He comes and goes. He was interviewed by this Ghanaian vlogger, and the interview was about when you are in Nigeria. Maybe I can text you details. You can check him on YouTube.
Okay, please.
So, whenever you are in Nigeria, people are alleging that, or they are saying that you only stay in the country. And he said, yeah, and I will tell you the reason. He said, Nigerians don't understand, Africans don't understand that you can never be like Texas. You can never be like New York City. What you have is what you're going to promote. And he was trying to say, what about the story I told you about the country, when I visited the country, like this train. You can make a little restaurant and they will touch tie roof. Have Nigerian women dressed in Asho, whatever, which maybe we have cola nuts in their hand, like a resort. So this thing is going to be like Western. It's going to be like African. So first of all, we need to decolonize. But if we don't decolonize, no, we're going to be saying, import everything, America, export everything. So first of all, let us decolonize. I will give you an instance. I can actually refer you to it. It's called Native Attire Day. It was my own initiative. I initiated this, my 21st anniversary. It's a lovely concept. I saw people being interviewed in Nigeria, about 200 people, and they were donning the normal Nike, Adidas, I don't want to say Okreka, whatever, look, whatever sports. And I was surprised, and I said, where's our Ankara? Where's our George? And I kept on, I couldn't even sleep. I said, then, these people were talking, Nigeria, you see our government? And I said, they don't even know they are part of the problem. What came to my mind, if 200 people from that day were wearing the native Ashoke, Ankara Adire, that means a lot of people will be gainfully employed. That was what actually motivated me. Mr. Lighton was there. I invited a few friends about this day. I said, I want to start this concept. I've seen this concept somewhere else. I'm trying to promote our native attire. And I said, from statistics, about 20-something billion will go into importing fabrics to Nigeria. That should not even happen at all. Then I got my family involved and I got people involved. I'm happy to tell you that over 45 tailors were part of this project.
Wow.
We brought them to Nigeria from Australia. You can check the video online. Native Attire Day in Australia,
Mr.
Tony Yamba. And that was my own contribution. I made it purposely for Nigerians to know that we are doing ourselves by actually buying from the Western world, where we have our own. Davido went to City Union of Ife and was wearing Gucci. Davido should wear a nice Ankara. Oh, you see what Davido is putting on? That will make 500 people to do the same thing. So in saying that, that thing went well. So I maybe I will liaise with your media house to actually, I'm visiting Nigeria to continue on this project. Okay. I want to reach out to local government chairman, I want to reach out to Obas, I want to reach out to people that why can't our local school uniform be local attire? Simple. Mm-hmm. So this one, we had almost 200 something people in attendance in Australia. Guess how many people were empowered? Tailors.
Mm.
The people that actually went about bringing the transporters.
Mm.
A lot of people. So at the end of the day, we actually brought money from Australia to Nigeria.
Mm.
So that is to tell you what can be earned in Nigeria via. So I'm just saying, first of all, we need to decolonize. If we don't decolonize, let's wear nice shirt. No. Well, first of all, we have to change the narrative. We have to decolonize. And this has been on for about 6 decades now, about 5 decades after our independence. So we should see from the perspective of ourselves what we are as a people.
Mm.
So that's important. Then once we do that, we now start to actually, I'll use the word consult. We need to consult.
Mm.
Well, without consultation, it will come to none. What I mean by consultation, what do you guys think? We are trying to bring diaspora people. Well, you know more than me. If I work in a bank here, I'm the controller of whatever, and I'm going to Nigerian bank, hostility, I don't need to go into that. We need to actually see how people over there can co-design.
Mm.
Are you with me?
Yes,
we
I'm with
need
you.
To set them up. So that we're not going to fail. If I enter Nigeria today and in your position, I'm on the same role, it blood runs in you, sister.
Mm.
But if we have a mutual understanding, you know what I'm saying,
mm.
then you accept me. There's going to be trust. But if I come there, oh, this man is going to come to take my job. They think they know better. No. We have to reorientate the locals about the diaspora, what they're going to bring in.
Mm.
You know, because we can see we're standing on top of the hill now. We're seeing more.
Mm.
So once we can negotiate that, then we go into the planning aspect. The planning aspect, then the delivery. Delivery is going to be the last one.
Mm.
So in a nutshell, it could be jingles, propaganda.
Mm.
Americans will do it. Australia will do it. My sister left for America when somebody, I think that was about, I forgot the year, this person shot about 23 people. It was the next street to my sister. And America was still promoting America, you know? But if Nigeria was going to host the World Cup, they would cancel the World Cup. So we need to do away with that. Then on our side, on the local people's side, I've told you what they have to do. They have to actually embrace us with both hands. How? We have to dialogue. There have to be a program. There have to be orientation.
Mm-hmm.
On our side, it comes down to the same thing because of this Kulu mentality thing. We're mm-hmm. so embedded in Western norms. My brother wouldn't say anything good about Nigeria again. My friends wouldn't say anything good about Nigeria because of that thing. But I moved away. And I think I said this when we started this interview.
I'm so sorry.
I left
Nigeria
and I'm telling you.
I'm so sorry to cut you, sir. I'm so sorry. I apologize. But I'm looking at the time.
Mm.
And honestly, my time is so fast spent. And then I'm already getting signals to round up because of the news that is coming up 12 p.m.
I will round up this.
Okay.
Okay. I will round up and I'll say, let's with the Asura people.
Mm.
Let them sit down and let's the local people.
Okay.
Then the concept, start doing jingles, start promoting Nigeria.
Mm.
Then everybody here in diaspora, we should work together.
Mm.
That should be an ambassador. Some people like Wale, like somebody who's thinking Nigeria. So if I can go into details, it's just about mutual understanding. We cannot just impose ourselves on Nigerians.
Okay, thank you.
Just as, you know, as them,
Thank you very much, sir. But you know, at the same time, I have to end it here. But please, I would like to talk to you in private. We need to talk about a couple of things, but that will come up immediately after the news. So let me, I'll round this up now, then I'll reach out to you so we can talk privately because we need to talk about so many things. I hope you do not mind, sir.
It's pleasure. It will be my pleasure if it's for the betterment of my motherland. Why
definitely,
not?
Definitely.
No, I'm happy.
Thank you very much, sir. All right, it's been a great time. Thank you so much for all the knowledge. We have to round it up. Thank you so much, Mr. Toyin.
Pleasure.
Yes, enjoy
the rest
of your day.
Me. I really have,
Thank you very much. Bye, sir.
And you too. You take care.
You too.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, it's been a great time with Mr. Toyin. We have to round it up here. Definitely, the news will be coming up shortly. Stay tuned to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.